Desire and interest in your prayer this afternoon. This burden the Lord had, one of the burdens the Lord had given me, may not be a typical afternoon message, but the Lord doesn't always deal in what's typical. I found that to be true also. I'd like to just write our burden on the message title on the board. Thrust in the sickle. I'd like to begin over in the first chapter of Romans, in the 16th verse, a very familiar passage of Scripture. Paul was writing, he said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I am happy to say this afternoon, I trust that all of us would concur that we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Serving the Lord, and I've tried to tell the local congregation and my family, we never need to be ashamed of truth. We don't have to duck our head and be ashamed when we're living righteous, godly lives. We don't need to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Because it is the gospel that brings hope to the hopeless. It's the gospel that brings deliverance to people that are bound and in captivity. So it is actually a message that should move us to share it with the world. And so Paul was saying, I'm not ashamed of it. If there are areas in our life that we are ashamed of how we are living, we need to come back to the Lord and find out why we're doing what we're doing. But when you have conviction from God and you know what the Word of God teaches and you're living in obedience motivated by love, that's key, a key ingredient in this, that we're motivated by love, we have no reason to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is the message that we individually and as a body of people today are commissioned to take to the world. We're not commissioned to go and take our own ideas and our own opinions and even our own Western culture from the United States, but we're commissioned to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm reminded one year in Pakistan, a group of ministers that knew nothing about the Church of God, they were concerned when we were going to have Bible study because they were like, what are you going to teach? And what they were thought I was talking about is that we were going to take a church creed and we were going to teach our own church dogma or creed. But when they realized that everything was being taught from the Word of God, thus saith the Word of God, one of the main ministers we were working with, he said, this is what we've needed. In other words, you're not out promoting, this is what our group of ministers say, or this is what that group of ministers says, is thus saith the Word of God. Folks, this is the foundation of everything that we should be teaching amongst us as a people. Sunday after Sunday, camp meeting after camp meeting, the foundation of everything that we teach is the Word of God. And if we ever begin to deviate from the Word of God, we're going to get into trouble. And we will slip into opinion or into just a style, a lifestyle that we say, well, this person did it that way, that's why we do it. There is reason why we teach what we do in the Church of God. There is biblical reason why we live like we live. And it is important that we not lose our zeal or enthusiasm to investigate truth. That we would have a reason and know why we believe what we believe and why we live how we live. So I am not ashamed this afternoon of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Over in the book of Ephesians, in the 4th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse, Lord knows why He sins, what He does, when He does. So we're going to leave that with the Lord. He said He gave some apostles. It's talking about the gifting. We've heard some about that in this meeting. He was talking about the gifting in the body of Christ. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. But then He gave the reason why He gave the gifts in the body that He did. And the reason was for the perfecting of who? The perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we come into what? The unity of the faith. So the Lord put the members in the body for a purpose. That we would come more and more into the measure of the stature of Jesus Christ. That we would come into the unity of the faith. He went on this, what we just quoted here. He said, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and about with every wind of doctrine. Then verse 15, he said, but speaking the truth in what? In love. Foundation for our teaching is a foundation of love, that we may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. I want to remind us this afternoon, there is purpose to the messages and to the teaching. There is reason why the Lord gave us what He did in the Word of God. And I want to just challenge every Sunday school teacher, every minister, and all of us. As we are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, remember why the Lord put the members in the body. In other words, if it was for us to grow up, it may mean that all of us, we haven't arrived yet, right? I haven't arrived. There are things I'm wanting the Lord to give me understanding and knowledge that I may know better how to please Him and better how to serve Him. And so it means that when the Word of God goes forward, it's not always going to be comfortable. Do we concur? Because to grow, it takes some stress on the body. If we're going to gain muscle, you have to work at it. You can't sit on the couch eating potato chips and saying, I want my muscles to grow. You've got to exercise and you've got to work. The reason that the Lord placed the members in the body as He did, it said very clearly, it was for the perfecting of the saints. Which means we don't need to feel like it despiritualizes us to recognize that we need to be perfected. Is that right? In other words, the Lord is wanting to continuously work on us individually and as a people that we would grow up in Him. It said that we would till we come to the unity of the faith. Now, the unity of the faith, it's not talking about the unity of man's opinions. It's not talking about the unity of another church of man. See, this is the church of God. Emphasis being on God. This is His body. This is His church. Which means then that the purpose of our teaching, the purpose of our evangelism as a body of people should be that others would come to the unity of the faith. There are many people that are out trying to get numbers that they can say, oh, we're in unity and we've got a group, we've got a congregation here, we've got a congregation there, and we have souls over here. The purpose is that we're through our teaching and through our lives that we would come to the unity of the faith of Jesus Christ. Well, the unity of the faith means what should these pastors and teachers and apostles be teaching? They ought to be teaching the faith. Amen? How can people know if they don't hear? I'll share a personal concern. It concerns me when people say, I've never heard that before. If we've never heard it before, either number one, it's wrong. And someone's coming up with some newfangled idea that doesn't fit with the Word of God. Or someone or somewhere there's been a letting down of teaching of the faith. And so we want to be encouraged this afternoon. Teach the faith. Teach the truth because the Lord has purpose for it. He has reason for it. Speaking the truth in love. Do you know it takes the love of God to reach souls? But do you know that love is not independent or isolated from the judgment of God's Word? Because if we preach the whole Word of God, there are people out in the world that have a mentality, if they hear anything that crosses their flesh, they say, the Bible says, judge not that thou be not judged. How many of y'all have heard that one? In other words, anytime something crosses the flesh, that's one of the most favorite scriptures that's quoted. Judge not that thou be not judged. Well, in context, Jesus was talking to the self-righteous. He was talking to the hypocrites, to the Pharisees. And he said, however you judge, remember this. You're going to face that kind of judgment. Well, the saints shall judge the world. Because if we teach the fullness of truth, we should not be ashamed to look at the fullness of truth in the mirror, in any places that we're not measured up. It's, Lord, you know my heart. Would you help me? Would you give me the grace to grow, to be more like you? But there is judgment in the Word of God. And we are living in a politically correct society. A society that wants everybody to be themselves or not be themselves. Do whatever you want to do, whatever makes you feel good. Folks, the Word of God Jesus came through His Word to change who we are. It is not our job to bring the Word down to our standard, but we are to preach the Word where it is and then say, Lord, help me to rise to it. That I can be more like you. That the world could look on and still see a people that are preaching the purity of truth. And the purity of the Word of God. What are people to rise to if we don't preach the fullness of faith? Is that a fair question this afternoon? Is that fair? Do you know I'm very aware of the fact that usually people in afternoon services are, you know who you are. Faithful. Consistent. Steadfast. Thank you for being here. But do you know we need the ministers need your support? When people get offended at the Word of God and they walk out offended, we have a decision. What am I going to do? Am I going to say, well, I'm sorry that you don't like it. Yeah, the preacher probably, he should have presented it a little bit differently. Or are we going to be there in love to hold up the truth that God has given to those that He's placed in the body? See, we don't want to be a cause of undermining the Word that God sends through those that He's placed in the body, that we would come to perfection. But we have to have a desire. And one of the things the Scripture teaches us very clearly, even in the time of Christ, when people walked away from Him, they were offended at His saying. Do you know that nothing is new today? There are still people that are offended by the preaching of the Word of God. But should it be that way amongst us as a people? But do you know what we're seeing in the age that we live in? It's rarely convenient to preach the whole truth. It's rarely convenient. And I'll tell you what part, I'll tell you what part of the problem is. When you come into a larger body of people, you might have visitors. So you think, okay, well, we need to be careful because this is their first time there, right? And we want to be cognizant of those things. We don't want to be blinded to those things. At the same time, you say, well, they're newly saved, so we probably really don't want to teach on some of these things because, you know, they're not ready for it. And then you go to Monarch and, you know, there's just some things that are better preached in the local congregation. And there are some things in the Word of God that, yes, it's true, but it's best reserved for the local congregation. Well, do you know what the condition of most of our local congregations is? We're pretty small. So you go to service and there's just a small group of people and the Lord gives a message and you're like, Lord, are you sure? Lord, because this person, I know they're not living up to that. And then they say they might think you're preaching at them. Well, so maybe I ought to wait. Lord, do you want me to wait till camp meeting and then maybe the pressure's off because there's not so few of us. And then there's truth that never gets preached. Because there's never a convenient time. There's always, well, how can we talk about modesty if there's people sitting among us that are clearly not living like the Bible teaches? So we can't be specific. And we can't talk about, you know, the involvement in some of the things of the world because there's some folks over here that are doing those. And we don't want to offend them. But the question this afternoon is, what's going to happen as a body of people if we get so... The enemy takes advantage that we are so careful not to want to offend someone. What are we ever going to rise to? You see the problem. And pretty soon then, you start having people filling positions of leadership. And people filling positions that, well, we can't have to be careful here because, well, the preacher's wife's doing it and the preacher's children. And don't they teach Sunday school over there? So we better not deal with those things. This is how compromise sets in to bodies of people. And so the Lord has instructed us. He wants us to preach the truth. Preach the faith that we have something to rise to. I would much rather this afternoon someone be offended at truth today while they have opportunity to repent and get right with God, because there's coming a day, and it's not too far off, when they're going to face that same truth before the judgment, and there's not going to be any mercy. There's not going to be any more opportunity. So I encourage my fellow laborers and all of us in the Lord today, preach the truth, hold to the truth in love, but let's hold it where it is, high, that we might come to the unity of the faith. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Paul's instruction to Timothy. And the reason he gave the instruction was, he said, for the time will come, 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter, for the time will come, and would it be fair to say, and now is? It has been for a long time. It was shortly after the surge of the spread of the gospel that began to happen. He said, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. That's where compromise sets in. That's where there begins to be a famine of the Word of God. And that has happened through time. You study ecclesiastical history. It's happened in congregations. It happens in families. It happens in movements. Folks, the answer then is, Lord, help us to preach the whole thing. Help us not to shy away and be afraid. Fear not him who is able to kill the body, but him that is able to kill the soul. In other words, there are times and people that will not want the preaching of the fullness of truth. Do it in love, but preach the truth. Hold to the truth. Book of Isaiah asks the question. Isaiah 1 made a statement, rather, verse 22. He said, how is the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of judgment and righteousness lodged in it, but now murders. The silver has become dross, and thy wine is mixed with water. And then down in the 27th verse, it said, Zion shall be redeemed with... Does anybody know what it says? Zion shall be redeemed with judgment, and her converts with righteousness. Folks, the Word of God brings judgment. The Word of God brings judgment. And we need to have a willingness to step up to the proverbial plate in truth and not compromise, not let down, not to hold it in carnality or self-righteousness, but hold the truth just like it's given in the Word. And the Scripture says, great peace have they which love thy law. And what? Nothing shall offend them. Those that are offended are many times those that aren't living like they ought to anyway. There are times, do you ever feel like you think your toes get stepped on? Come to camp meeting or maybe your local congregations. Do you ever feel like things are getting a little close? If you don't, your minister's not doing their job. Is that a fair statement? Because the Word of God for all of us, the Lord is there working on us. They're sitting there, it's like, Lord, but when your heart's right, you're saying, Lord, I need more of this. Lord, would you help me to grow? But you don't get offended at it. It's like, this is truth. I acknowledge that it's truth. But what people do that don't want to measure to it, they attack the ministry. Well, they should have brought it out a little bit different, or it was just poor timing. I find that people that more often than not say it's poor timing, there's not usually a good timing. The timing is when the Holy Spirit leads. There are things to be aware of, and there is a time and a season for all things. Don't misunderstand. There is a time and a place, but it's in the order of the Lord, and the Lord always leads in all of His truth. The Lord is never going to give us a generation of time where He says, okay, you don't need to preach on this truth anymore. It is truth that sets free. It's truth that liberates. If you will turn with me over to the 14th chapter of Revelation, in the 14th verse. And we're just going to read this passage, 14:14. He said, I looked, and behold a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown in his hand. He had a sharp sickle. Thrust in the sickle, another angel came out of the temple crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Now listen, there's another angel that came. Same message. Another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, having a sharp sickle. And another angel came out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in the sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle in the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. There is a lot of truth, and I know sometimes when you start reading a long passage, you have to really focus on it, or you begin to lose contact with what it means. This passage, there has been different thoughts and ideas, and I want to mention that in the 19th chapter of Revelation, there is going to be a thrusting in of the sickle in the treading of the vines, the grapes, in the winepress of God's wrath, and that's the end of time. You take the grapes, and you trot them under, you press them, and that juice flows from it. The illustration here is in the 19th chapter, I'm pointing to the end of time, when the Lord is going to say, it's enough. The judgment has come, and there's going to be a great sacrifice of souls. There are going to be people from all over the world, from all different denominations, that the judgments of God are going to come down, and there's going to be a great sacrifice of souls for those that did not accept truth in their life. But here we have an example, and you can reference a passage over in Joel that talks about thrusting in the sickle in the judgments of God being in Zion that there might be righteousness. So this is the analogy. We find historically that when the Church of God Reformation began, there was a thrusting in of the sickle. There was people that had different points of truth in different light, but there was not a real visible body of people that you could point to and say, there's truth here. This is the truth. And so the ministers begin by the commission of the Holy Spirit. They thrust in the sickle, which was the Word of God, and they begin to press the vines, the grapes, and there was blood that came out of it. Folks, truth separates the good from the bad. True separates good from evil. True separates compromise from truth, from those that have a real desire for the things of God. Some people are afraid of blood. I don't like blood. Some people see blood and it makes them they're about faint. But I want us to understand the enemy would like us in this generation to faint at the sight of blood. You understand? But the call from the temple of God was, thrust in the sickle. In other words, there is a reaping of the vines. And understand here he said the vines of the earth. If we are in Christ, who is the vine? It's Jesus Christ. We're attached to the vine of heaven, yes? But the judgments of God are coming against the vines of the earth. Those that just have profession of religion. Those that don't have a real consecrated experience with God. And so the message was thrust in the sickle. But shortly after the Reformation and this evening light began around in the period of 1880, but do you realize it didn't take very long before there was a widespread compromise in the camp. And it was more than just over a necktie. It was a spirit of worldliness that soon developed. They lost many points of truth that had the Lord had been blessing in their midst. Hierarchy in the ministry. Go to seminary now. Get your piece of paper. Not qualified by the Spirit. Soon after they started a seminary, there were atheists teaching in the Church of God, Anderson Colleges. There were atheists teaching in their seminary to qualify ministers to go out. Give them different perspective, different education, different teaching. There were many other things that began to come in, and so we see there's a great compromise. But this gets into remnant theology. But folks, the Lord has a remnant. And the remnant is every individual who is still willing to take the whole truth and live it and preach it and allow the Spirit of God to move them as He would. You know, that's why we're here this afternoon. That's why we're here, Lord. We want Your anointing. And when there is compromise over here and there's compromise over there, are we going to allow that to stifle us or put a muffler on what we teach and preach? Because here's the expression that I've heard different times. We can't afford to lose anybody else. Have you heard that? We can't afford to lose. First of all, the question is, who is we? I think that's important for us to answer. Who is we? Biblically, we should be the body of Christ. Those that love God with all of their heart, that have been washed in the blood of Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's who we should be. And if we lose people, if people leave the body, if they're leaving Christ Himself, they're leaving the body of Christ. And some would say, well, if we don't see it this way anymore, and if we change truth, see, we can't change it, but we can be quiet about it. If we stop thrusting in the sickle, judgments of the Word of God, what's going to happen is there will be a generation of young people that say, we've never heard this before. I know that mom and dad live this way, whether it's from how we operate as a body, how the Lord appoints and calls in the ministry, how we are led in our services. We believe in Holy Spirit leadership because it's taught in the Word of God. There's reason why we practice like we do. But if we believe in modesty, why do we believe that? Well, it's tradition. Well, there are some traditions, but why the tradition? It comes back down to a more solid foundation than history or heritage. It comes down to the Word of God. There are reasons why we live like we do and believe what we believe. But if we, in our attempt not to offend, because some are going to go away, and we say, oh, please don't go away, what's going to happen to us? It's compromise. In my lifetime, I've watched it happen, as many of you have, over and over and over. And I'll tell you, the devil's pretty subtle about it. Because what happens then, if I stood before you this afternoon and I look out and I see some family members, it's like, well, I don't want to offend my family, so I'm not going to preach on certain things, of certain scriptural things, because I don't want to offend my family. What's going to happen? We look around and we see we're a small group of people, folks. We love our family. We love our friends. We love those that we've worshiped with for years. We don't want to see anybody go away. Rather, we want to see people come. We want to see people come into Christ Jesus. But there is so much compromise in the world today. The Lord's still calling us to thrust in the sickle. Because there's going to come a time, folks, that the blood is going to run deep with a harvest of souls that are going to go into eternity without possibility of redemption. So then there should be a place that people can know, if I go there, I know I'm going to hear truth. I might not like it. It may not make me feel good, and I may not like how they present it, but I know it's truth. Folks, this is our commission that we still have today. And I know there may not be a lot of jumping up and down, but Jesus said, he that rejecteth me and my words, see, hath one that judgeth him in the last days. And it is our responsibility, it is our duty as people called of God to thrust in the sickle. Understand, after the first angel, after the sickle was thrust in, it said a second angel came and said again, thrust in the sickle again. Do you know it's the mercy of God when He sends His Word again to people where there has been compromise, where there has been rejection of truth, when the Lord sends a Holy Ghost anointed ministry that is declaring the whole Word of God in love, in truth, without dogma, without carnality, but preaching the whole Word of God. Folks, it will harvest honest hearts. And those that aren't wanting to live the Lord, do you know there are people that settle down under the sound of the gospel and they just kind of tune it out and they settle in. But do you know, for other people, they don't want to stay around very long because they know they're not living right. You know, I'm uncomfortable. Lord, help us not to just our purpose. I heard last year, someone in this meeting said, it's our job to make the sheep comfortable. I've got to humbly disagree. It is our responsibility to care for the sheep. And if there's something troubling the sheep, it is the ministry's job to take care of that. But it's not our job to say if truth makes the sheep uncomfortable, we're not going to preach it. You see how the enemy starts working? If it's truth, then Lord, help us to rise to it. Because one day we're going to face it. There is much that could be said about the history of some of this. But folks, that wine press, God pressing out and blood flowing in the streets. And the message still is thrust in the sickle. Don't be afraid to thrust in the sickle. I know families. All of us have family members that aren't living like they should, don't we? It brings grief to our hearts. But don't let down on what you know is right. Just because husband, wife, children, grandchildren, people you've known a long time. See, the enemy would like to cause us to back off a little bit. Because I love my family so much. But if we love our family and we love people so much, then we're going to still be holding up that bloodstained banner. We're going to be holding up the truth uncompromisingly on all issues of doctrine and faith, that we could come to the unity of that faith in Jesus Christ. If people don't have opportunity now, when are they going to ever get it? Where are people going to hear truth if they don't hear it? Right here. Where are they going to hear it? Where are people going to know that the things the Bible teaches? Folks, God gave us what we needed in the Word. I confess sometimes there's a few things. It's like, Lord, I wish You would have just added a few more lines. I wish maybe You would have added another little chapter to clarify a few things. But folks, He gave us His Spirit. And He gave us His Word. And it will address adequately every need and situation that we face in life. Adequately. So where are people going to hear it? Do you know the doctrinal truths? You say, well, I know my grandparents taught this. Do you know why? Do we still teach it today? Is it truth? Is it Word? Folks, if we just go along without really getting in the Word and studying and allowing the Lord to teach us, we're going to lose something. We're going to lose something. So the Lord says, thrust in the sickle. Stay faithful. Don't let down. Don't compromise. It obviously, even in the time of Christ, there was a mixed multitude. Was there not? I know people sometimes have come around and say, well, if this is the church, then look at them over there and look what they're doing. No, that's why the church is divine. The church, it's God's church. It's composed of every blood-washed one. And if there is no better place for sinners, or no better, this term not measured up, there is no better place for people that aren't living like the Bible teaches than right here. I want them to come. Had a lady ask us one time. She didn't dress anything like we do. She said, well, is it okay if I come? I said, come like you are. We just want you to be in service. We want you to come. Why? Because you can hear the words of life there. Don't expect you to be an adult overnight. And so you give a baby milk. But yet there's meat. If we don't have meat at times, we're all going to stay babies. We're going to all stay weak. And so there's a mixture. I've heard Sister Maxine one time said the Lord stops people's ears from hearing things when they don't need to hear it. You know, ever since I heard her make that statement, I found it's really true. The Lord has a way of taking His Word. I've sat right in this meeting. And there was a visitor in the back, and I thought, Lord, they're going to be offended. Person was preaching, and I thought, oh, I knew the person, and I knew the message, and the message was truth, and it was right. And I wasn't condemning it, but I thought, they're not going to like it. And guess what I heard later? They thought that was just wonderful. And I thought, thank the Lord. The Lord had a way of letting them get what they needed to hear. But folks, it all needs to be here. It all needs to be here. There was a mixed multitude in the time of Christ, and there's still going to be a mixed multitude. But the important thing is that the Word of God in its fullness is still being preached and taught and lived, and that we not be afraid to thrust in the sickle. Do you know the Scripture teaches over in 2 Corinthians? We'll just summarize it in the second chapter. It talks about the truth and the Word being the savor of life unto life and death unto death. My dad asked Brother Austis Wilson one time, he said, Brother Austis, he said, it seems like it would be a little discouraging to be a minister. When you preach your heart out and share the truth and people, you know, so many people reject it. And Brother Austis said, the Word of God is a savor of life unto life and death unto death. To those that want to be like Christ wants them to, the Word of God is going to bring life, and you will see spiritual growth. But folks, when you thrust in the sickle, it's also going to bring death to people. And we don't like death. But how much better for people to face it today, while they still have opportunity, rather than face the same truth at the judgment. And the wine press of God's wrath is going to be poured out. So let's not be afraid. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? In closing, I'd like to conclude with another familiar passage over in Ezekiel, 3rd chapter in the 17th verse. He said, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth and give them warning for me. You know what warning is? There is warning when the enemy is at work. That's what warning is given when there's a place the enemy is working. He said, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at thy hand. Isn't that pretty solemn? He said, if you see, I've given you a commission to thrust in the sickle of the Word. Thrust in the sickle. Give the truth out and warn them at my name, at my call. Tell them what I'm saying. And he said, if they don't heed, they're going to die. There's going to be death. There's going to be some blood running in the streets. Folks, this is not just referencing the end of time. This passage in Revelation 14 and this passage in Isaiah, it applies to now. There's going to be some blood running in the streets. And we can look at the ministry and say, you murdered my son. You murdered them. You preached something, they walked away offended. Folks, no, it's the gospel that will give life. When their heart is ready and when their spirit is ready, the Lord's going to have something to be able to work with in their life. And there's going to know there's still a people that are teaching the whole Word of God. There was a lot more said about Babylon and about sectism. There were a lot more warnings against the false righteousness that's out in our world in so many churches in the land. Today you really don't hear near as much about it. But do you realize that the message still needs to go forward? Because there is still a truth. There is still a truth. And folks, error mixed with truth kills. So, son of man, if you warn them, if I give you warning and you don't warn them, he said, I'm going to require their blood at their hand. He said, yet if thou warn the wicked and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. So who wants warning? Let's not be afraid to give what God gives. Sunday school teachers, ministers, all of us have this place. In our homes, in our families, all of us have a place. Teach the truth. Do it in love. Do it in gentleness. Be long-suffering. Give, Lord, time to work with people. Well, I told them and they haven't measured up, so you cut them off? No. Who of us would be here if God would have cut us off immediately? No, the Lord was long-suffering with us, but as a body, He's saying, give them warning. Or I'm going to require it at their hand. Folks, I don't want to stand with someone's blood on my hands at the judgment. Which means there's going to be some blood in the streets in this life if we as a body of people are preaching the whole truth. It's going to bring some blood in the streets. This has been backed up not only by our Reformation ministers, but by the ministers previous to my generation. I've read their writings. I've read it. But most of all, I see what the Bible teaches. And the message still is unchanged today. Trust in the sickle. Don't run from the blood, but be faithful and steadfast to preach the whole Word of God. Folks, it'll bring life, and it will help us all be more perfect and grow in perfection in Jesus Christ. Amen.